Jesus Christ. We thank God for his mercies. We thank God for his mercies. We thank God for what he's doing in our lives. And I pray that even as the wind of change blows over us, that which needs to be blown away will be blown away indeed in Jesus' name. Amen. And that which needs to be blown in will be blown in the name of Jesus. Amen. Most importantly, that which needs to be revealed will be revealed. And we shall indeed walk in the greatness that God has already prepared for us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, in continuation about the winds of change, I would like to talk to you briefly about responding to the winds of change. Now, I said winds, not wind, but winds. For there are varying degrees of wind. There's small wind, there's great wind, but I just use the word winds to say their variation. But today, I would like us to just briefly talk about responding to the wind of change. I would like to turn your Bibles with me, if you may, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, I read from verse 1 to 12. Mark, chapter 4, from verse 1 to 12. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are here to hear what you have to say to us. Your word created things out of nothing. We pray that as we look into your word will look back into us. Howbeit, creativity shall be in place in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We'll live here better than we have come in. Thank you, Lord Almighty, that we're here to hear, even as you speak. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
I read from verse 1, and the Bible says, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat by the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on land. Verse 2 says, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7 now says that, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, verse 10 is important. It says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 means the disciples, asked him of the parable. Verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, All things are done in parables. Verse 12 and the final verse says, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Let's look at verse 10 again. Verse 10 says, when talking about Jesus was alone, the multitude had gone away. But when he was alone, the Bible said, they that were about him with the 12. So not just the 12 disciples as we know them, but there were still some that were there waiting, asked him about the parable. Now, church, there are great teachers and there are great students. Likewise, there are ordinary teachers and there are ordinary students. So as you have great teachers, you do have great students. And as you have ordinary teachers, you do have ordinary students. Great teachers will focus on helping their students to discover and develop the potential that lies within them, with the focus of making the students eventually becoming greater than they or them, the teachers. Now, the method that the teacher may employ might not be pleasant or palatable to the students, but they do challenge the students to be creative in their mind. They never ask the students to do anything that they, the teachers, or he or she, the teacher, is not able to do, or he or she has not accomplished already. They will push the students to the limit, and then they'll push them even further beyond the limits for them to know that it's not the sky that is the limit, but beyond the sky, there's still something there. They often teach the students to think about multiple possibilities by creating opportunities for the students to learn, to grow, and discover new things. Great students are focused on knowledge. Great students are hungry for knowledge. Great students somehow are aware of their potential to learn, and they are always seeking how to develop their potential and also where and how to deploy their potential effectively. Great students are rarely satisfied with what they've been told. They want to know more. They want to explore new possibilities. They want to dig deeper, climb higher, and they tend to ask all the right questions because they are focused on being better. Great students will always keep their teachers on their toes through their inquisitive minds. So as great teachers are interested in developing the potential of their students, great students likewise are interested in being better, and they're hungry for knowledge. Now, we also have ordinary teachers. Ordinary teachers will follow the curriculum to the letter. They don't add to the curriculum, neither do they subtract from the curriculum. ordinary teachers will do whatever they've been told to do. And it's usually done out of convenience, and they love routine. This is how it is, and this is how we teach it, and that is it. Even if what they're teaching is no longer relevant, they stick to the plan. They do not in any way challenge their students to think deeper or higher. Ordinary teachers don't encourage ideas outside the box. And even if the student begins to think outside the box, they reject it and even penalize the student for going outside the curriculum. Ordinary teachers will always want the student to be less than them and always appear greater than their students. Now, ordinary students, likewise, will follow the curriculum presented to them to the letter. They don't ask questions or question whatever is presented to them. As a matter of fact, they can memorize it and can reproduce it just as the teacher has taught them. To them, all they have been told is all they believe in their hearts that they need to know. They don't explore anything. They stick to what they've been taught, and it's usually out of convenience. It's convenient for them to stay within the parameters of what they've been taught and don't go outside it. Just like ordinary teachers love routine, ordinary students equally love routine. Ordinary students know how to make good excuses why they will not go outside the curriculum. They always make excuses why it cannot be done. Probably the best word they say is, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. If it's not broken, why do you even want to fix it? Now, even as we have great teachers and great students, we have ordinary teachers and ordinary students. In life, each of these people will come together. Now, when a great teacher comes in contact with a great student, there's usually an exchange of great ideas. Both the teacher and the student do not only exchange ideas, but they also grow in wisdom and understanding. Because a great student being inquisitive will cause the teacher to go and find the right answer. And so therefore, everybody grows, both the great teacher and the great student. When an ordinary teacher comes in contact with ordinary students, because it's a curriculum that has been put in place, nothing new is taught, nothing new is learned. It's simply a reinforcement of that which has been known that is going on. There's really nothing that is new anymore. There's no creativity in the coming together of ordinary students and a teacher. Everybody stays within their comfort zone. There's no application of what has been taught, and they all remain in their comfort zone. As long as the teacher tells the student do this and the student does what the teacher has asked for him or her to do, there's total peace. Now, there are moments when a great teacher will come in contact with an ordinary student. When a great teacher comes in contact with an ordinary student, the student, which is ordinary, is forever hearing but not understanding. Because they are ordinary and they remain in their comfort zone, they will see, the teacher will be seen as being unnecessarily difficult And because the teacher is making an attempt to move them out of their comfort zone, out of what is routine, what they're used to, they don't so much like such a great teacher. I mean, who wants to leave the comfort of the known for the darkness of the unknown? The great teacher will almost never be able to transmit greatness into the student. The irony of ordinary students that have a great teacher is that this student will always look for what is wrong with the teacher while justifying the wrong that they are doing. In other words, what makes them ordinary is simply, if he does wrong, we see what he or she is doing wrong. When we do wrong, we justify what we're doing wrong. Even it might just be exactly the same thing. There's also a possibility that an ordinary teacher may come in contact with a great student. When an ordinary teacher who is stuck to routine comes in contact with a great student, that teacher will, as it were, hinder the creativity of the great student. Because the teacher is ordinary and sticks to curriculum, he feels threatened by the question and the inquisitive mind of the great student. He feels threatened by the quest for knowledge by the student. As a matter of fact, an ordinary teacher will focus on the consequences of moving away from the curriculum to the student than allowing the student to be creative and think outside the box. Am I making any sense to anybody here? Wow, are you just... Don't sleep on me now. Some of you, I know you're not thinking, you're sleeping. Don't sleep now. We're almost done, okay? Now, so as we have great teachers and great students, we have ordinary teachers and ordinary students, and each of them coming together, things do happen. When great students and great teachers come together, greatness comes about. When ordinary teacher and ordinary student come together, it's just a relearning, not even a relearning, a reinforcement of that which is in place. Nothing is different. It's just the same routine. So it has been, so shall it be, this day and forevermore. Amen. Nothing new. When a great teacher comes in contact with an ordinary student, the ordinary student does not want to learn anything because it feels the teacher is just too hard. Leave me alone, my comfort zone. Let me just be here, and that's okay by me. And when an ordinary teacher comes in contact with a great student, the teacher will choke out the greatness, the inquisitive, creative mind of that student. Now, think about the relationship between a parent and a child. For a moment, just think about it. Children are naturally great students. How many of you agree with that? Oh, you don't agree? Okay, just one or two. Kids are inquisitive. Great kids ask you a lot of questions. Now, if you do not know, it's almost natural to say, keep quiet. Don't ask me a question. When the kids wants to do some things, you say, no, that's not how it's done. But for great parents, they stand back and watch, what is it about this kid? How can I help this kid develop the potential? But anyway, think about great parents, great kids. Or think about ordinary parents and ordinary kids. An ordinary parent that has a great child, even though I do not know, will seek help to make the greatness in that child be multiplied. Any parent that will not allow the kid to be greater than him or her doesn't even know the notion or the idea of growth and continuity. Jesus was and is a great teacher. And the students that were with him wanted to know some more. Verse 10 there says, and when he was alone, they that were with the disciples, the 12, asked him about the parable. While the multitude had what he had said and had gone away, I said, wow, beautiful message. Some stayed behind with the 12 and said, okay, you said all you have to say. Tell us some more. What are you talking about? And Jesus made this statement in verse 11. He said, and unto you, the great students, is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are simply ordinary students, things are done in parable. Because they will see and yet not perceive. It's one thing to see, it's another thing to perceive correctly. So they will hear and yet they won't understand. Because if they can perceive correctly and understand, their hearts will be converted and their sins forgiven. Sins forgiven is like what you're doing wrong shall be corrected and begin to do it correctly and rightly. So the question that I asked myself, and I want you, if you can, ask yourself, is this. Am I a great teacher or an ordinary teacher? Am I a great student or an ordinary student? Do I relate based on what I see only? Or I exercise faith in the unseen, but yet knowing it is possible? Do I seek human revelation or divine revelation? Change is the only variable in life that is constant. Change is powered by the need to bring about growth and continuity in your life. Now, change could happen to you as an individual, thereby forcing your environment to change. Or change could happen in your environment, hereby forcing you as an individual to equally change. The parable of the sower that we just read now describes change and the response to change. You see, there are people, those that change happen to them or around them, but somehow they don't see it, they don't recognize it, and they're just there, like ordinary people. Things happen to them that wants to help them focus, but because they are not perceiving or understanding, it's just, oh, maybe it's just the way of life. People come into their life to be a helper to them, but they don't recognize that, oh, this is what this person is doing in my life. To make matters worse, even when those things depart from them, they still do not see it. They don't know what came into their life or what's departing from their life because they hear and don't understand. They see and yet do not perceive. Good news, none of us is in that category here. Now, there are those that opportunity comes to them and they do recognize it. They are in the right place and at the right time. Change that happens to them could come in form of gaining a promotion, getting an employment, probably getting married, or probably a new grade, or get a promotion in school. Now, all of these things are good things that have just happened to them. But unfortunately, they do not recognize or understand that with a new position comes new responsibilities. as they begin to notice the change around them, remember, as change occurs to you, it will force your environment equally to change. As they begin to notice the change around them, that which has happened to them suddenly becomes like a curse. An example is, you get a promotion in school to a new grade. Suddenly you realize that what is being demanded of you in this new grade is not the way it used to be before. And you begin to wonder, man, things are too difficult around here. Why can't it just be the way it was before? Or probably you get a promotion at work, and then you suddenly realize that the responsibilities are even far more than the old responsibilities that you used to have. Or probably you realize that when it was just dated was different from now that we're married. Or when we're married is now different now that we have kids. More responsibilities suddenly shoot up. And you begin to wonder, why can't it be? But your environment changes. Now, the problem with this sometimes is, as the comfort zone is being disturbed, as what you've been used to is being disturbed, you become agitated, easily offended, and then discouraged. By and by, this ordinary people do give up. The ordinary people, or these ordinary students, find themselves in the midst of great people or great opportunities. But because they're just ordinary, the things that occur around them does not benefit them because they want to remain in their comfort zone. Now, there are those that change happens around them that will force them to change. Now, as the things begin to change around them, they make adjustments. They try to make adjustments to make it happen. But you see, after a while, because they're giving so much and getting too little in return, things begin to break down. Such people are easily misunderstood. They're easily misquoted. And such folks will do everything within their power to please others, and nobody is bringing it back. This could be frustrating, and that frustration itself could kill creativity within a person. This could be the relationship between a great teacher and an ordinary student, or an ordinary student and a great teacher. When a parent is ordinary and your child is extraordinarily great, and you don't allow the child to explore possibilities, the chances of growth in mind for that child is limited. You can only make your child be... Let him be. It's okay. It's his father's house. The possibility of growth is pushed down. Because you have not grown, you don't allow those who need to grow above. And so therefore, you kill the creativity. Of course, there are those that change happens to them or around them. And because they recognize what is happening, they know what it means. They know it's an opportunity for them to grow. Through patience, they gain understanding and wisdom to themselves. Now again, the question is this: how do you respond to opportunities that are around you? When greatness comes your way, do you want it to remain what you've always known, or you want to make a change for something better? Do you feel comfortable in the zone of what you've always known, or are you willing to step out from what you've always known into the place of the unknown that you may know some more? At Digging Deep, Bible study that holds on Wednesdays, we're looking at the book of John, and we're talking about the cell phone. Barely 20 years ago, a mobile phone was just for making calls and receiving calls, and that thing was a huge monster. But from that huge stuff that came in the beginning, look at the progression up to this moment. You suddenly realize that the cell phone used to be for talk in those days, today is more than a cell phone. It can be used not only to talk, you can send text messages. It has made everybody become a news reporter, because you can bring out your phone and make recordings. It has become a GPS. It has become a camera. And multiple things can be done with a cell phone, which 20 years ago was only for talk. This is because a greatness was discovered, and that greatness kept on growing to be better and better. As a matter of fact, the next generation of cell phones is already in place, whereby they will plant some chip within you, and when it rings in your head. Now, that might sound funny, but that's the truth. It's just going to be something that you tap and keep on talking. But you will see, probably in our lifetime, we'll see those things happening. Now, my question to you is this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you describe yourself? As ordinary or as great? Do you see yourself as a great teacher or an ordinary student? Do you challenge other people to be better, or you reinforce that which is already known? Are you a great student or an ordinary student? Are you interested in being better than what you have learned, or you want to be better at what you only, or do you just want to remain with what you already know? It's one thing to know that when you multiply 2 by 12, you get 24. It's another thing for you to know that if you multiply 12 by 2, you still get the same 24. I remember one of the biggest challenges I had with my dad in learning maths was in placing operands in digits. My father will ask me, "Look, Mon, what is 3 minus 2? Ah, that's simple. 1. What is minus 2 plus 3? I say minus 5. And I get laying of hands. But I can't figure out why is he laying hands on me. But little did I know, was trying to help me see that if I move things around, it's still the same thing. Because 3 minus 2 is the same thing as minus 2 plus 3. But it helped me to be able to develop the mind that I can look at things and use my head to think and move things around and still get the same results. That's part of developing in greatness. Now, do you want to be great? Or do you want to remain in the routine of that ordinary life? The choice is really yours. Jesus came to reveal the greatness that lies within us. Jesus came to a people and said, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid." Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus came and said, "Do not worry about what you shall eat and drink, or what shall you put on?" He said, "The heathen seek after those things, but you seek something higher. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Jesus came and said, "If you continue in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus came to tell us that we are sons and daughters of the living God, not the slave of God. Jesus came to tell us that we are sons and daughters, and he is our Father. Jesus came to reveal to us the potential that lies within us. Jesus came to teach us and guide us to know that if we will say to that mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your mind," Jesus came to show us a path to greatness that lies within us. He was different from the prophet of old that says, "Just believe in God and trust him, for God is a consuming fire," which is true. But he came to tell us more than that, that God is a loving God and a loving Father. That if you ask him for fish, he will not give you a serpent. He came to reveal to us that the greatness that lies within you makes you go places, and because you are going, everything behind you is blessed. Jesus came to reveal to us what and how we should pray. Jesus came to help us focus on today and tomorrow, not on the past. And those who understood him said, if any man be in Christ as a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Those who understood what Jesus came to do said that I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Those who understood what Jesus stood for said, every handwriting of ordinances against me has been blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, because it is written that cursed is anyone that hangs upon a tree. They recognized that Jesus has come to reveal a brand new world to them and not the old ways of doing things. Jesus came to let them understand that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus came to let them understand that wherever they stand, he is there with them. That wherever they go, he is there with them. Jesus came with a whole different curriculum that brings people to the place of greatness, not limiting them. Jesus was never an ordinary teacher, but he was ordinary to the crowd. But to those who would be great, he was great. The question is, are you great? I conclude with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 to 23. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 to 23 says, if so you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off consigning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 22 is the key. Put off consigning the former conversation of the old man, the ordinary man, the man that wants to stay within the routine, that wants to stay within what I know. But put on a new man by the renewal of your mind, saying, I cannot stay ordinary. I can move to extraordinary. I cannot keep on praying that God, this which I have, please protect. When I can say, Lord, open new doors unto me. The month of June is a month of open doors. It's my prayer. As for me, I can say this confidently. I've seen that doors will be opening for people. I'm talking about doors of greatness that will be opening unto people. But you see, if those doors will open, if you're an ordinary person, you're not going to step through that door. If you're ordinary, you'd rather stay with what you have than to go into what you're not even sure. But my prayer is that as the door shall begin to open, the courage to step out and step forward, the Lord will grant unto you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So in the renewal of your mind, folks, your mind is your life. Your mind will believe whatever you tell it. I will encourage you. Feed your mind with love. Feed your mind with faith. Feed your mind with truth. It's a lie if anybody believes that God will cause you unnecessary hardship and pain. It's a lie. Whatever challenges you face, God knows it cannot overcome you. All he's doing is to make you better and stronger. I mean, think about it. If those who we call great did not go beyond thinking of the ordinary, we would not be where we are today. You see, the law of flotation was not discovered by the contemplation of the sinking of things, but rather is observing the things that float and ask the question, why do they float? Men were able to cross the oceans by looking and wondering what will float on these things. And when men began to cross rivers and oceans, they were using boats made out of wood because wood floats. But today, ships are made from the things that should sink. Metal, aluminium, steel. They should sink. But somehow, somebody discovered that the whole reason why things float has got to do with what we call water displacement. Now, that's science. But somebody thought about it, and it's operational. You and I, with our weight, if you go up to the roof and you try to fly, you'll fly for a few seconds downwards. An aircraft is heavier than you in multiple folds, and yet it's able to go up in the sky and transport from one place to the other. Somebody thought of it, and it made it so. Today, we're not just flying from continent to continent, we're flying into space. That's simply because somebody renewed the mind and said, what can we do to make it better? Ordinary people stay in routine. Great people break routine and create something new. Jesus came to break routine and create something new. He said, those who take the old wine will say the old wine is better. And what messes many people up is like the new wine, they try to put it in the old wine bottle and everything breaks up. But you are extraordinary, great people already who should be willing and ready to receive the newness of the scripture and of God today. You should be the ones creating stuff, not the one that they create stuff for and you just follow. You are meant to be in the cutting edge of what Jesus is doing in this very day. Wherever you find yourself, you need to be working as great teachers or as great students. Whatever you tell your mind, it's going to believe. If you tell yourself you're ordinary, you behave like an ordinary person. If you tell yourself you're great, the hunger for greatness will increase in you tremendously. If you keep on learning the same thing over and over again, there will come a time that there's nothing to learn again, but that is it. But when you say, no, this rule can be broken, that we can create new rules, then you're ready for the next level of your existence. If you're an ordinary teacher or a student, perhaps you should renew your mind so that you can become a great teacher or a great student. Perhaps you should seek creativity. Think outside the box. We do a lot of that at Bible study on Wednesdays. Maybe it's time for you to move away from the routine of life and move to the extraordinary way of doing things. One of the fascinating things that we found in the scripture was a man who had been ill for 38 years. Finally, he got his healing. And the first thing the people who were ordinary could see was that, why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath day? Don't you know it's against the law? For them, they did not see the extraordinary that has just occurred. For them, they believed that the routine of things had been broken and they were offended and were mad at him. But for 38 years, that guy has been languishing. Nothing has happened. Now something happened. Rather than seeing the greatness of what had just happened, they were comfortable with what has always been. It's time for us to move away from impossible to I am possible. It's time for you and I to begin to forget about the old things and behold, the Lord is doing something new in your life. Where you were is not where you are today. God moved you from where you were into this place so that you can learn something new for where you're going tomorrow. If you try to make today what it used to be yesterday, your tomorrow will be like your today. If you don't like what today holds, what yesterday held for you, change something today so that your tomorrow might be better. If you keep on doing what you were doing yesterday, like the scientist said, what makes you think something different is going to happen today? You'll wear yourself out and be stressed out. It's easy for you to be offended. It's easy for you to be distracted. It's easy for you to go down the tube. I say unto you, break the routine. Seek something new, something fresh, something powerful. Spend your time in trying to discover new ways of doing things, new ways in every area of life. Life is a continuum. Change is out of the need for you and I to grow. Can we just pray for a minute? My question is not too hard, it's not too high. The prayer is a simple prayer, it's a prayer I pray for myself. And all I'm asking God to help me to be is that where I've become comfortable in the ordinary, Lord, shake the ordinary thinking, the ordinary way, that I may begin to move to the next level of my existence.